The Business on RT Radio 1 with Ulster Bank. For when you're keen to know what Brexit means for your business, visit ulsterbank.ie/Brexit.
You don't know, this was the largest data scandal with respect to your company that had catastrophic impacts on the 2016 election. You don't know?
Well, Congresswoman, I'm sure we discussed it after it, after we were aware of what happened.
Okay.
I mean, what were Facebook and Google and YouTube people actually doing here? Why were they here?
They were helping us, you know? I mean, they were basically our kind of hands-on partners as far as, you know, being able to utilize the platform as effectively as possible.
Do you see a potential problem here with a complete lack of fact-checking on political advertisements?
Well, Congresswoman, I think lying is bad, and I think if you were to run an ad that had a lie, that would be bad.
Without Facebook, we wouldn't have won. I mean, Facebook really and truly put us over the edge. I mean, Facebook was the medium that proved most successful for this campaign.
Well, the fallout of Mark Zuckerberg's comments this week that Facebook won't ban political advertising rumbles on. The company has even been accused of assaulting the truth, of allowing crazy lies to be pumped into the water supply. Twitter, meanwhile, has been praised in some quarters for saying that they won't take advertising revenue from political parties. We're joined by Liz Carolan of Digital Action, an organisation that looks at digital threats to democracy. Liz, you're very welcome to the programme. First of all, the obvious question is Twitter have decided to ban these political ads. Do you think that Facebook and Google and others should do the same?
I think there's definitely a case to be made for a little bit of a moratorium on political ads, at least. We've seen over the last couple of weeks, Facebook saying that they don't intend to apply the kind of standards that they normally apply to ads if they're placed by political candidates or in a political context. I think that's an entirely untested proposition. And they actually announced last night that they'll be doing that in the UK over the next 6 weeks in the run-up to the general election there. I mean, I think there's...
So when you say a moratorium, do you think that they should be not run for now, but that in principle, in theory, there's nothing wrong with doing it, but just doing it slightly differently?
I think in theory, political ads can be done well. They can be a way for candidates to get their message out there, for organisations to communicate with audiences. They can be a way to fundraise. But the way they're done at the moment, which is quite often in secrecy, without being able to verify who's paid for things, I think just frankly the companies need to get their houses in order. And until they do, I think the sensible thing to do would be to say, okay, until we can figure these things out, why don't we just sort of put a bit of a pause on political ads, at least for the duration of the UK election, and then and try and figure out how all this works. I think in the UK, especially the Election Commission, the Information Commission, even the kind of cross-party group of MPs have come out and said, listen, the British law isn't able to deal with this. Electoral law isn't able to deal with this. The European Commission last week said Facebook's effort in the European parliamentary elections and Google and Twitter's, to be transparent, didn't seem to be up to scratch.
But if you look at advertising and political advertising in a UK context, for example, one of the issues around online advertising is that it's very micro-targeted at individuals based on databases and what their interests are. And because of that, everyone gives out about the Brexit bus and what was inaccurate information on the Brexit bus. But everybody could see that it was on the Brexit bus. Some of the online ads around the Brexit campaign from the Leave campaign, for example, there's a few of them emerged only relatively recently. You had ads saying, the EU wants to kill your cuppa, which was aimed at, you know, an older generation who liked their cup of tea, wasn't really clear how. Or one was, the EU blocks our ability to speak out and protect polar bears. So this is the sort of political advertising, and we don't actually know it's out there.
We don't know it's out there. I don't know what ads you're seeing, Richard. You don't know what ads I'm seeing. And I think in particular, you know, politicians are always going to say certain things during a campaign if they think it can get them some votes. When they say those in public, folks like yourselves will call them out on it, right, in the media, or their rivals can call them out on it. With political ads as they're structured at the moment, people, candidates, or even, frankly, somebody else who has nothing to do with the candidates, can be spreading lies, spreading disinformation. We've seen this week attack ads in the UK, kind of trying to like denigrate people's character. That can happen. It can happen under the radar, and nobody's challenging it.
If you take Facebook, for example, and it does affect other online platforms as well, but in Facebook's case, Is Mark Zuckerberg in a bit of a no-win situation here? Because if he follows Twitter's lead and bans political advertising, he will completely alienate himself from the Republicans in the United States. And there could be the wrath of the Republicans could affect the company in future. So he's adamant about saying this isn't about money, it's about freedom of speech. He's kind of in a no-win situation. Is that a fair point, do you think?
So I think a couple of years ago, especially after the Brexit and US 2016 election votes, there was a big heat around political ads and sort of beginnings of discussions on both sides of the Atlantic about regulation of those ads. I think at that point in time, if the platforms had pulled ads, they could have potentially sort of, you know, cut the legs off those regulatory conversations. Those conversations have moved on quite a lot. And now on both sides of the Atlantic, folks are looking at, actually, are these companies too big? Do they need to be broken up? What's happening with our data? What's wrong with the business models, like the fundamental ways that these companies operate? And I think at this stage, I can't see if Facebook even were to pull political ads that it would necessarily help them in like that. You know, that regulation is coming.
Well, again, the scale of the company, Mark Zuckerberg said of Facebook that this isn't about the money. It's less than 0.5% of next year's revenues. And 0.5% of next year's revenues turns out to be $400 million, which, yes, is small by Facebook standards, but a $400 million global business is a big business.
It is a big business. I think, to be fair, I think, you know, it would be rational for them to just decide we're not going to continue that business line if they were just looking at it in that way. This is a very particular type of business product that they have, though. You have pretty much everybody in Congress, in both houses of the US Congress, using and relying on this product in order to run their campaigns and to try and win an election next year. I think it'd be very, very difficult for them for them to take that move.
I see that US President Donald Trump, his campaign manager, Brad Parscale, said that Twitter's ban was yet another attempt to silence conservatives and that the Trump campaign has already spent over $15 million in this campaign on Facebook ads. So it's hugely important to the Trump campaign and to Republicans.
Yeah, I think so. And there's all sorts of debates going on about this in about these platforms in the US that are quite separate to the political ads question. One of those is about bias and whether or not these companies favor kind of US progressives and the things they're saying over US conservatives and the things they're saying. But you'll hear people on the other side saying the algorithms, so the robots that decide what comes first in your Facebook feed, or, you know, if you Google something, what's the first entry that comes up? That's not a passive decision. That's based on algorithms of, like, you know, looking at information about you and deciding what you should be shown. And you'll have lots of folks sort of saying, well, actually, those algorithms, they tend to pick out things that are emotive, that are going to make people angry, that are going to divide people. So you have all these conversations going on which have nothing to do with political ads, which is I think a little bit maybe why Twitter this week chose to opt out of political ads. It's a much smaller part of their business anyway.
And all of those issues end up being in the mix in the debate.
There are so many other issues when it comes to this, yeah.
Liz Carolyn of Digital Action, thank you very much for joining us on the programme. We'll be back after this break.
Thanks, Richard. RTE Radio 1.